You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
There's power in the Word of God. That's the good news that we hear from our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee. Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, your host and fellow traveler on the five-year journey that we're going through. So thanks for joining in on this important message. Now, Dr. McGee has got a lot to teach us about passages that we find in Isaiah 61, especially the foreshadowing of Jesus Christ and the power that God's Word has to save us. So as you open your Bible and prepare your heart for our study, let's pray for our brothers and sisters around the world in big cities or remote locations. Specifically, let's intercede for those who find it hard to leave the religions of their families or walk away from idol worship and other dark practices. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the long view of history and life that we receive from your Word. We ask that you would open our minds and our hearts so that we gratefully receive and apply the lessons that you have for each of us. We ask that you would protect our brothers and sisters from the darkness of idols and then release them from the bondage that holds them. Help them to find freedom found only in your salvation. Lord, we ask you'd give them peace and courage as they follow you and guide us all in your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's open now to Isaiah 61 as we make our way through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, friends, we return back to this very marvelous 61st chapter of Isaiah. And last time, we were looking at one of the finest examples for us today in the interpretation of Scripture. In fact, it gives us even our Lord's own interpretation of the Old Testament. He took a passage when he was yonder in Nazareth before he left there. He took a passage in the synagogue and he read down in that passage from Isaiah, which is this 61st chapter. He actually didn't read very far. And he read about the fact that the Lord was coming, the Spirit of God was coming upon one, and he'd been appointed and anointed to preach good tidings to the meek and to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, that is, those held by sin, and the opening of prison to them that are bound. And that, again, is the ministry of the Lord Jesus. By his redemption, he can take the drug addict and deliver him from that awful prison house of dope, and we have letters from literally hundreds that all they do is hear the Word of God, believe it, and turn to Christ, and he delivers them. We believe in the power of the Word of God. Now, in that passage, he also read verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, when the Lord Jesus got there, he closed the book, he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. Then he made this very enlightening statement. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Now that's Luke 4, 16 through 21. Now here in Isaiah 61, you'll notice that he didn't even finish the sentence to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Period is just not the way it is. It says, and the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort all that mourn. Now, why did he break off? Because you have in this passage of Scripture both the first coming and the second coming of Christ. And that's exactly, you remember what Peter said, that the prophets back in the Old Testament, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now, that's 1 Peter 1, 10 and 11. Now, Peter says that the prophets spoke of the sufferings of Christ and the glory of Christ. Now, you have that in Isaiah. We have it in the first section and the second section. But friends, here we've got it in one verse. Now, how can you make the distinction? Well, the Lord Jesus made it here for us. There's no problem here. But we need to recognize that the prophets looked down the future. They saw the first coming and the second coming of Christ, and they had them together. And they actually couldn't pull them apart or distinguish between them. And the illustration that I want to use that I trust will make it clear is this. Right here in Southern California, where I live, in Pasadena, right back of my home, and I say right back, it's several miles, up to the mountains, actually to the foothills. It is at least 2 or 3 miles to the foothills. But looming up large and high is Mount Wilson, on which you have there the Mount Wilson Observatory. And now a bunch of television stations have their antennas up there where they broadcast. Now back of Mount Wilson, if you get down far enough, you can see another mountain back of it, and that's Mount Waterman. And actually, when you get off and look at them, they look like they're right there together. Now, I've been up in those mountains, and I've been between Mount Wilson and Mount Waterman. And frankly, I would say there's at least 25 miles distance. But when you get off down in the valley, here where Southern California is, and look up there, you can't see that valley. All you do is see Mount Wilson, see Mount Waterman. It looks like they're jammed together up there. But there's at least 25 miles, and a friend of mine told me I ought to say 50 miles because he says it's every bit that from the top of one to the top of the other. I don't know, but all I know is that when I go down through that valley between them, it's at least 25 miles on my speedometer. All right, there is that difference, but you've got to get up there between them to see the difference. Now, you see, the prophet was way down in the valley looking into the future. He saw the first coming of Christ. He saw the second coming of Christ, as Isaiah did here, and very frankly, apparently a little confused about it. In one breath, how can you make the statement here that he's going to bind up the brokenhearted, going to open the prison, and at the same time, he's going to announce the day of vengeance of my God? How can both be true, you see? Well, you have to stand actually where we stand today. Now, we are in the valley between the first coming and the second coming. We look back to the first coming of Christ. He came to fulfill this that the Lord Jesus read there that day. He came to die on the cross as the Redeemer, as we saw in Isaiah 53, for the sins of the world. Now, where we stand is somewhere between that mountain peak and the next one, the second coming of Christ. And those of us today in the church know that he'll take the church out first. The Lord Jesus said that I'm going to prepare a place for you and I'm going to take you out of this scene. Now, he's coming back to this earth to establish his kingdom down here. And when he does, he's coming in judgment. We're going to pick that up in a chapter that's right ahead of us. When you see him treading the winepress of the wrath of God. And my friends, it's not a pretty scene. God never said it'd be pretty. But he's going to put down the rebellion that's on this earth today. This little earth is still under his control. And Emerson is wrong when he said things are in the saddle and they ride mankind. The Lord Jesus Christ is in the saddle and he's in control. He's the king and he's coming someday and he's going to put down the rebellion. And that's the day of vengeance when he comes. But immediately after that, we're told here, he's going to comfort all that mourn. Those that are in this earth today that mourn for their sins, that long in their heart for a better day and want to be in obedience unto him. And then he's coming to establish his kingdom. And when you move from that to verse 3, not only do we have to comfort all that mourn, but appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, now in particular for the nation Israel. And if you're going to mourn in Zion, my friend, you'll have to move out of Los Angeles. You can mourn here, too, and a lot of things to mourn about. But actually, I think that he knew his geography. Isaiah didn't. When he said Zion, he didn't mean Los Angeles, and he didn't mean Chicago, and he didn't mean Dallas, Texas, and he didn't mean Florida, and he didn't mean South America, and he didn't mean Salt Lake, Utah. He meant Zion was Zion, and that's a geographical spot well known to Isaiah. He'd been there many times. Now, we're told here that to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Now, you can see that beyond the day of vengeance, which is amplified now when we get to chapter 63, is the peace and the prosperity of the millennium. And Isaiah's making a play upon words here, no question about that, with beauty and ashes. It's just like saying today in English that he will exchange joy for judgment or a song for a sigh. In other words, after the sighing and the judgment, there'll be joy and a song. Now we're told here, they shall build the old wastes, they shall raise up the former desolations, they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. Now, the land of Israel is to receive a facelifting, and it will restore its Edenic beauty at that time. Now, what's happening over there today is wonderful. It's caused Dr. Albright, a great Hebrew scholar, to take the position that now he believes in prophecy, that a nation that's been out of the land for 2,500 years is back in the land, apparently made a believer out of him. But friends, let's be very careful that we're not seeing the fulfillment of this prophecy. And when you fit it into its time schedule, this will take place at the beginning of the millennium. And we just don't happen to be there right now. Now, verse 5, and the strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen, your vine dressers. Now, this is a real picture of prosperity. And will you notice? But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Now, do you want to know what Israel will do in the millennium here on the earth? They're going to be a priesthood of believers. Now, this was God's original intention, that the entire nation of Israel would be priests. Go back to Exodus 19:6 and let me read it. Ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. Now, because of their sin, this was never attained, but it will be in the millennium. That's God's intention that that should take place. And not only that, he says, for your shame ye shall have double, for your confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. In other words, everlasting joy shall be unto them. Now, this is real fullness of joy. What a great day that's going to be. And he says, for I, the Lord, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I will direct their work in truth, make an everlasting covenant with them. In other words, their lives then will adorn their religious ritual. You remember, we've been looking at passages where they were going through the ritual, and he condemned them for it because their heart was far from God. And we are told their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. In other words, anti-Semitism will end, and pro-Semitism will begin here on the earth because they will be genuine witnesses for God. Now, I don't think they are today. I don't think the church today is fulfilling what it could do. Now, I believe that we're following God's program, and it's working out because he said the day will come when we'd have a form of godliness but deny the power of it. We see here in this third section now, we saw that there was a real distinction between the first and second comings of Christ made here. The Lord Jesus made it in the first three verses. Then you have that design for living in the millennium. That lets you look into the millennium, the passage we've just gone over, and you see it. Now we see something of the delights of the millennium in these next two verses. Listen to verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. My, they're going to have fun, man. I wish today that more Christians had fun in going to church. I wish they enjoyed it more. I wish the study of the Bible was a thrilling and exciting experience for all of us. It ought to be, and God intended it that way. Now he says, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. Now, the Messiah continues to speak here. And as he does, all that are his can join in this psalm of praise. I'll rejoice in the Lord. The problem today is that a great many Christians just can't rejoice in the Lord. They ought to, but they are out of fellowship with him, sin in the life, way out of the will of God, and going on in self-will. Now, verse 11, for as the earth bringeth forth a bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Now, you see, not only will there be material benefits and physical improvements, but the true blessings are going to be spiritual in that day. What a picture we have here. Now, in chapter 62, we get more details concerning the millennial joys of restored Israel and the earth in that day. Now, you have here the yearning of the Messiah for these anticipated joys. And it is something that also ought to be in the heart of the believer. There is a grave danger of us today as believers looking for the coming of Christ to take us out of the world, to use it as an escape mechanism. People get into real difficulty, and they then want the Lord to come. I remember that when I was in seminary, maybe I've told you this, but we had a Canadian, and he was a great fella, and we liked to kid him. He didn't have much sense of humor, but we enjoyed kidding him. And so he would come out at night after we had dinner, evening meal, and he'd look up, and he said, oh, if the Lord would only come. And that was only the nights we had Hebrew the next day, and it was hard. And he wanted the Lord to come that night. What he really meant was that he didn't want to study Hebrew. He wanted the Lord to come. Now, when he graduated, he got his degree one day, and the next day, a beautiful girl came down from Canada, and they were married. And I never shall forget the night before graduation, he came out and looked up, and he said, oh, I hope the Lord doesn't come now for a few more days. Yes, that's right. That's the way a lot of us are. We say today we want him to come, but what we really is, we're on a hot seat down here, and we'd like to get off of it. And it ought not to be that. Now, will you notice the picture that's given to us here? We have the ambition of the Messiah for Israel in these first five verses. Then the anticipation of God's people for the millennium, and then the announcement of the Lord for that future day. We'll call attention to these divisions as we move through. Now, the first one, the ambition of the Messiah for Israel. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. Do you know the reason Jerusalem can't have peace today? Is because there is somebody sitting yonder at God's right hand that wants to rule in that city in righteousness, and he just can't wait. And I ought not to use that term when you speak of deity, but he's just ambitious. He wants righteousness to be in that city. And you can call it the holy city if you want to, but it's anything today but holy, but it's going to be someday. Now, the zeal of Jehovah of hosts is going to perform this, and man won't make the kingdom. United Nations won't do it, that's for sure now. That's obvious. I don't think we as a nation can do it. I don't think anyone can bring peace into the world but this one here. And so only the zeal of the Lord of hosts. And therefore, even today, all of creation and all believers are groaning in their present state as they look toward the future. A great day's coming, friends. And we got a right to groan about it. Christian pilgrim today, aren't you weary of this earthly journey? And do you desire the fellowship of the Father's house? That's a question for us today. Now we are told in verse 2 here, the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, all kings thy glory. Thou shalt be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord shall name. A new heart and a new situation, a new earth, a new righteousness. Well, it all demands a new name. Old Vernon McGee's going to be gone. I don't know what new Vernon McGee's going to be like, but he's going to be new. And we're to be in the new Jerusalem. But what a wonderful picture is given here of the future. And redemption involves not only the church, but the nation Israel and this earth, the physical earth. And we're all groaning and travailing in pain, waiting for that day when it's going to be a grand deliverance. Now we're told here, verse 3, thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Israel's going to have a new position. And now notice this, thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shalt thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Lord delighteth in thee, and thy land shall be married. And I hear people sing Sweet Beulah Land. At least I used to hear it. I haven't heard it in several years now. Sweet Beulah Land. And they didn't have the foggiest notion where Beulah Land was or what it meant. Well, let's look at this. Israel has been forsaken. This is the picture. And name of Israel since the crucifixion of Christ. All you can say when you look at that land today is forsaken, desolate. That's the name. And that's the description of it. But in the coming kingdom, they shall be called Hephzibah. Now, that's a funny name, but it means delightful. It's going to be a delightful spot then. I've made the statement before, I don't like Jerusalem the way it is today. It'll be delightful in that day. And Beulah means married. In other words, the king is present or protected, and his presence means joy. And we're told, for as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoiceth over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. He delights over Israel as a bridegroom over a bride. Now you have here the anticipation of God's people here. I've set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. This longing is contagious. Every right-thinking person can pray for the peace of Jerusalem, longing for that day. Verse 7, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. God says, I'll turn and turn and overturn until he comes whose right it is to rule. Now, down in verse 11, you have the announcement of the Lord for that future day. Listen to him. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. This announcement, it's pertinent, I think, for the present hour, as this verse indicates. We ought to, in presenting the gospel to every Israelite, tell him about God's overall plan of salvation. And the second coming of Christ means the second coming of Christ to establish his kingdom down here for these people. The Messiah is their Savior today. Verse 12, and they shall call them the holy people. They're not that today, and it's not the Holy Land, but it will be. The redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. Jerusalem is a forsaken city today, but in that day, it's going to be different, and that's what he's saying here. What a glorious future we have here. We need to know about it. It's in God's Word. So until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
What a glorious future indeed. If you'd like to know more about that future, we've got a few resources that'll help. You can just go to ttb.org, where you can download a free copy of Dr. McGee's booklet titled simply The Millennium. You can also invite a friend to hop aboard the Bible bus with us by visiting ttb.org/Isaiah. There you'll find all of our messages in Isaiah, along with links to download other resources focused on this great Old Testament book. Again, these resources and more are available when you visit ttb.org or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE, and we'll be happy to help you find a particular resource by Dr. McGee to deepen your personal study of God's Word. Now, next time, our journey continues in Isaiah chapter 63. I'm Steve Schwetz, inviting you to hop aboard the Bible bus and join in the adventure.
Jesus made it home, all to be my home. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Well, ride the Bible bus for 5 years and you'll be amazed at what God teaches you from His Word about what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's a blessing that keeps on going. That's what we believe at Through the Bible.
Hi, fishing enthusiasts. Want to watch a local fishing show here in Brevard County in your home waters? Well, look no further. Go to YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show and watch all our shows ranging from freshwater to saltwater. You can leave a comment, hit that like and subscribe button, and we sure would appreciate it. Remember, YouTube Space Coast Fishing Show. God bless. You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Praise the Lord and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To all our faith partners and radio listeners, we are the church and the city with the city in our hearts. I am Minister Gloria Ross of New Life Assembly of Melbourne, Florida. The church address is 774 North Apollo Boulevard, and that's in Melbourne, Florida. Our church telephone number is 321-255-6999. Our church services are every Sunday, 11 o'clock sharp. Come and be blessed. Now here's Pastor Ross.
Well, praise the Lord out there on Radio Land. Once again, my Lord, this is a wonderful day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall all rejoice and be glad in it. We thank him for this wonderful opportunity that we can come into your homes, nursing home, prison cells, automobiles, wherever you are, to tell you about the goodness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he truly is good, that he loved us so much until he sent his only begotten Son to die for your sins and mine. And by the grace of God, we have eternal life to everyone that will believe and trust in him. So just stay tuned for the broadcast and be blessed of the Lord. We want to look at what the Word of God is saying today, because, and sometimes we are thinking about just opening up the lines and see if we can find out who's out there listening to this broadcast. And because most of the time the messages are going forth, and we would like to know what the audience are out there in Radio Land there. And if you need prayer, you can call and we'll pray with you over the line and so forth, because God is truly good and he loves us. And I want to let everybody out there know that the Lord is good. Taste the Lord and see that he is good. Now in Mark, the 16th chapter, praise God, we want to look at what the Word of God is saying to us all. Praise God. If we pray and believe what the Word says, we can have exactly what God says to us in his Word. So I want to look at Mark, the 16th chapter, among other verses of Scripture, because what's happening is that the Word of God is clear. We need every Scripture that God has blessed us with, that we can speak that to our situation. So it says that these signs shall follow them that believe. We are believers, and I trust today that everyone out there in Radio Land that have tuned into the broadcast, that they are believers. Praise God. And if they believe, then you can have exactly what the Word of God says by faith, because it takes faith to get what God has for us all. And if you believe and trust in what he said in his Word, you can receive the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. You say that these signs, now there are signs that are supernatural signs that are following all of us that believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and allowing the anointing of God to touch our hearts. Praise God. These signs, what signs is he talking about? He's speaking about supernatural signs that will come from the anointing of God. These signs shall follow. Not that we will be following signs, but these signs shall follow them that believe. in my name. He said, you shall cast out devils. Praise God. And I tell you, there's a lot of devils that need to be cast out, because what is happening is that there's so many spirits that are moving about that are ungodly, that are not for our benefit, but it's for the support of the kingdom of darkness. And wherever they surface themselves, we are to cast them out if we are walking in the spirit of the living God, displaying supernatural power. So he said, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Now, keep in mind, he said, them that believe in my name, they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. That don't mean that, well, you stop cussing if you used to cuss before, that you stop cussing. No, all of this is supernatural. Supernatural. Only coming from the Spirit of the living God. You shall speak with new tongues. New tongues. And if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. And you shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, that's very important there, because when we look at what the Word of God is telling us, that to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, we're talking about supernatural power, that when we lay hands on those that are sick, it says they shall recover. In other words, there may be an instantaneous form of healing, or maybe there may be a progressive form of healing, but nevertheless, they shall recover. And this is the important thing here, that we keep in mind, that we pray for folks. The anointing is in our lives. We lay hands on the sick, and the Word of God said, and they shall recover. And this is what we have to do, as what the Word of God says here, and believe what it says. Because when we're reading the Word of God, we pray for folks that are sick. They don't need to see us. They should see the hands of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. When we lay hands on them, that they shall recover. We rebuke the spirits that are trying to get them sick. And a lot of times folks are not sick. It's just that the enemy is using these spirits to get you sick. So what happened is that we take authority over them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and lay hands on them, and they shall recover. And Minister Glory, the most important thing is that when we pray for people, we have to believe ourselves that what we are praying for, that it will come to pass, whether it's right then and there or later on, but it will come to pass. Praise God. Praise God. That's why faith is very important in what we are talking about today, because it takes faith to receive anything from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a walk of faith. It's a daily walk, believing and trusting in what the Word of God has said, not only to us, but to everyone that's believing, what reading and believing what the Word of God is saying. So in Mark 11, also, it tells us there that if you believe, you can receive. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, that's what Jesus said. And if anyone knows the truth, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he was teaching his disciples. Matter of fact, we need to go over there and look at that in Mark 11. And we look at the 24th verse there, and we'll see exactly what the Word of God is saying.
Well, in Mark 11:22, it says, have faith in God.
Well, that's true. That's what the Word says, to have faith in God. We need to have faith. But if you're not going to pray for anyone, if you don't have faith in God that he's going to heal them, you know, and then again, you know, the healing is up to God anyway.
Amen.
You know, because we're not healing anyone. Mm-mm. All we're doing is being obedient and praying for one another according to what the Word of God says. And as we do that, it's up to God if he wants to heal them. And many people have grappled with this in terms of whether God wants everybody healed or whether he will heal everybody and so forth. We are not in that position to say, well, everybody that's being prayed for will be healed. Amen.
Amen.
Because God is sovereign, and he does all things after the counsel of his own will. And what happens is that if he wants to heal you, he will heal you.
Amen.
And if he doesn't heal you, he will call you home. If you're born again, heaven will be your home. Praise God. So if he doesn't heal you and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, then otherwise hell will be your place of visitation until after the 1,000-year reign, and then you will be called up to the great white throne judgment for the final judgment. But that's another subject that we could talk about at a later time. What we want to talk about now is the blessings of the Lord, that he will heal you if you believe. Mm-hmm. Now, we're saying he will heal you if you believe according to what the scripture says, because we all are supposed to pray and believe that who we're praying for will be healed. Now, the healing is not up to us. The healing is up to God.
Right.
And he's the one, because he is sovereign and he wants to heal. He will do that. Many people today that are doing things that actually are conflicting with their daily walk or life anyway. And what happens is that if you continue to do that, those things, then I ask the question from a natural perspective, then why would God want to heal you so that you can continue to do those things? No, but it's up to him. There are many brothers and sisters that have gone into the hospital and not come out, and they love the Lord. We can't make no determination in terms of why they didn't get healed, because we know that the doctors can't heal you. All the doctors do is diagnose a problem and cut you and prescribe medication. That's basically what they're doing. But thank God for the doctors.
Yes, thank God.
Because they have the mental capacity, medical knowledge, that they are able to help in times of trouble. But we don't depend on the doctors. We depend on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So, Minister Crowe, you said there in Mark 11, verse 22.
Have faith in God.
Have faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
So our faith must be in God.
Mm-hmm.
And God is the Word. Because the Bible tells us that in St. John 1, there, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So what happens is that we have faith in God's Word.
Amen.
And by having faith in his Word and what his Word says, we believe it, and we walk accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
So God that we serve is a good God.
Hallelujah.
He wants you healed, people that are suffering. He wants you, because everything that God does is good. Everything that he created is good. There's no evil with God. And God wants you blessed. He wants you healed. He wants you whole. He wants you to have the type of life that you're able to exalt his name among the populace. So, Minister Glory, so
go to 24.
Yes, go to the 24.
Therefore, I say unto you,
yes,
what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them.
Now, Jesus is speaking, and he says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray. When we pray, whatever your desire may be, you are to believe that you have received it. And he said, and you shall have them. That's wonderful. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you've received them, and you shall have it. And praise God, he didn't stop there. He went on and said there that when you stand praying,
forgive.
Forgive, praise God. Forgive.
If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you your trespasses.
Well, we have to forgive.
Amen.
We can't walk around with unforgiveness in our
heart.
And asking God to heal us or deliver us from certain situations, because God is a forgiving God.
Yes, he is.
And his spirit rides on the inside of us to let us know that if we've done anything wrong or we have anything against anyone, we are to forgive them. And forgiveness is not only for the person that you want to forgive, but forgiveness is also for yourself.
That's true.
Because if you don't forgive, you get yourself sick. Mm-hmm. And the people that you are having something against, they've gone on about their business. They're not even thinking about what's going on.
And how dare us not to forgive when he forgave us of all our trespasses when he died on the cross of Calvary.
That's what he said, forgiving one another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the most important thing is that we should forgive. Let's look at another verse of scripture. Since you mentioned that a minute ago, go to Ephesians, the 4th chapter there, and let's look at what Apostle Paul was telling the church of Ephesus here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we ought to forgive.
Amen.
And our heart should lead us to where we would forgive one another.
That's right.
Let's look at the 25th verse there.
Mm-hmm. It says, wherefore, what's that? Ephesians 4, 24?
Ephesians 4.
Okay. And that you put off the new man, at which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness.
Yes.
Wherefore, putting away lying,
speaking
every truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil.
Right. But if we look at what Apostle Paul is saying there also, is that in the preceding verses there, he talks about that we have to forgive one another, be tenderhearted and so forth, and forgiving one another even as God has forgiven us.
Well, Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. But be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you.
Yeah. So be kind one to another.
Yes.
And tenderhearted, and forgiving one another.
Yes.
Even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us.
Amen.
God is a forgiving God.
Yes,
and he loves us all.
Mm-hmm.
But we cannot have or harbor anything in our heart and ask God to help us to forgive us when we are holding something against somebody else.
No.
You know, the psalmist said that he that regardeth iniquity in his heart, that God won't hear him.
Amen.
You see, so if you got something that you're holding in your heart today, and I pray that you don't, because what's happening is that God's not going to hear what you're saying.
No.
He's not going to meet the need that you desire. If you are holding unforgiveness in your heart, if you want to be healed, there's sickness in your body, you need to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
You need the healing power of God to flow through your entire body. What is happening is that it just won't work unless you ask the Lord to forgive you of what you've done and to forgive others. And many times people want to go to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me and forgive them. But God really wants you to go to that person.
Amen.
And talk to them about the situation. You know, Mr. Gloria, a lot of times we don't get what we need because there's spirits of ignorance.
Yes.
We've done something. We didn't pay that much attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
And we forgot all about it, but God has not forgotten about it.
No, he doesn't forget. No.
And he sees exactly what's going on
mm-hmm.
or what has happened, and he wants us to come to him.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when we have the opportunity, the Holy Spirit that resides on the inside of us will touch our understanding and our heart and let us know that what you've done is wrong. Repent of it
mm-hmm.
and ask for forgiveness. And God will forgive you.
He will.
He will forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he says that if you confess your faults or your sins one to another, and if you confess your sins, that he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins
mm-hmm.
and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
And this is what we need to know as children of God and even those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. You can repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you of the wrongs, the things that you've done. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And each and every day, it's a good thing to ask God to forgive you, whether you're born again or not. Say, Lord, if there's anything that I've done today that were not pleasing to you, I ask you to forgive me. And the Holy Spirit will work in your life when you do that. And even at nighttime, before you go to sleep, you ask the Lord to forgive you, because there are many things. There are spiritual ignorance that goes on a lot of times where we've done something and we forgot all about it.
True.
We pay no attention to it. But see, it means a lot to God. Mm-hmm. And we just say, Lord, forgive us or forgive me of anything that I've done. If I missed you during the course of the day, if I've done anything that were not pleasing to you, I ask you to forgive me. And I tell you something, you know, the Holy Spirit,
mm-hmm.
who is our teacher and our guide, what he does is that he will let you know if you've done something wrong.
Yes, he will.
You know, when I say wrong, I'm speaking in terms of if you've done something against someone, because we all sin.
Yeah. I'm sure the glory of God.
That's right. That's what the scriptures say. For all have sinned and come short. So each and every day we are coming short of the glory of God. But what we do is that we ask the Lord to forgive us.
And that's what it says in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yeah, well, all wrongdoing, things that are not in the right standard with God,
mm-hmm.
we are to ask him to forgive us.
Amen.
And forgiveness is healthy. Forgiveness is good.
It is.
And we need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
We need to ask the Lord to forgive us. Praise
Amen.
God.
Amen.
And he will
mm-hmm.
forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
He will forgive you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm praying today that those that are out there in radio land in the upcoming weeks here, by the grace of God, I don't know exactly when it is, but by God's grace, we're going to open up the lines and we're going to pray for people out there in radio land that need prayer. We want to see what audience that being ministered to and what your needs may be. If you're suffering from sickness or disease, whatever problems may be, we want to pray for you. We want to come in agreement with you according to what the Word of God says, that you will be healed. Praise God. Because in Matthew 18, it tells us that if two of us on earth is touching and agreeing and asking anything of the Father, it will be done. The Father will do it. So the prayer of agreement, we will come into the prayer of agreement with you. And that way God will answer the prayer, because his word cannot return back to him void. What he said, he will do it. And we thank God for that. So if you need healing in your bodies, praise God. When we open up their lines, their glory to God, we will make sure that the calls are answered and we will pray for you as needed. Minister Gloria, you have something you want to speak to them? Because what's happening is that the God that we serve is a good God.
Yes.
And he loves us all. Mm-hmm. And I strongly believe that he wants us all healed, because Amen. There's no sickness in heaven. Mm-hmm. There's no problems that people will. A lot of times people say, well, if I don't get healed here, I get healed in heaven. Well, that's been said for a long time, but mm-hmm. really the only place you need healing is down here in this earth, your physical man. Mm-hmm. But many people at some point disagree to that, mm-hmm. but I mean against that. But I want to tell you, your flesh is what needs healing. Your spirit don't need healing. The spirit is of God. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Well, we want to pray for you out there in Radio Land that have tuned into the broadcast, and keep in mind that we're going to, I don't know exactly when it is, but we're gonna open up the lines, you know, just ask for all those out there that's tuned into this broadcast. We want to know what's going on out there. Mm-hmm. And we want to know where this message is going, because if it's just right here in Cocoa, it makes no sense, because there are a lot of people that are here in Cocoa and other places. So we want to ask, well, I'm going to ask Minister Gloria if she would extend that invitation mm-hmm. to those out there in Radio Land,
mm-hmm. that
they
the
can
Lord.
Receive the Lord Jesus Christ.
It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Yes,
with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved by faith.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Call on his name by faith. He's the faith God, and he loves us. And the only way that you can get anything from God is by faith. Praise God. In Galatians 3 and verse 26 says, for we are all children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him come into your heart, change your life, and give you eternal life. Well, until next time, I'm Pastor Ross.
And Minister Gloria Ross.
We love you, and we thank God for everything that he's doing in your life, if it's being done according to his will. God bless you all, is my prayer.
You've been listening to the Salvation and Deliverance Outreach, brought to you by New Life Assembly of God Church, located at 774 North Apollo Boulevard in Melbourne. Their number is 321-255-6999. You also can write New Life Assembly of God Church at Post Office Box 2303, Melbourne, Florida 32902. Be with us again at the same time next week for another program, Salvation and Deliverance Radio Outreach.